As you know, on a Wednesday, we have Tshwane Unplugged. That is a great initiative by the city of Tshwane to interact with us and the listeners. So you can also send through your questions throughout the interview also, should you have any, on the WhatsApp line 071-364-0376. And I'm speaking today to Councillor Wayne Halfrich, and it's great to have you on this discussion. He is the chairperson of Health, and the Councillor Halfrich has a background in health services and public health, and with working experience in government services, private practice, NGOs, disease management, and academia. Good morning, and thank you for being part of today's discussion.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me here.
Councillor, what is the role and functions of Section 79 Health Committee in the city of Tshwane?
Well, basically, the Section 79 Committee of any of the portfolios is to do oversight over the department. So our main role is to ensure that the IDP is addressed, that issues that were mentioned in public participation are looked at, that the budget is set up, that there is an appropriate business plan, and to make sure that that which has become a council resolution as to what should happen in the department is actually happening. So long story short, it is to do the policing of the health department officials.
We look at drug and substance abuse in the city of Tshwane, and that has really become rife, especially which drives one of probably street crimes and drives a lot of different issues in the CBD. And many families face huge struggles when a member is an addict. But how does CUSAP, the Community Orientated Substance Use Program, and the Regional Drug Action Community help in fighting the scourge of drugs in the city of Tshwane?
Okay, that's a pretty long question, but fortunately I have a very long answer. So the Regional Drug Action Committee, or RDAC, is a legislative item. Every municipality has to have a regional drug action committee. And in each region of the city, we have seven regions. So each region of the city has this committee, and it is their task to bring together the city, the NGOs, the faith-based organizations, policing, community police, all the different departments to address specific drug-related issues within each region. So they have a great big monthly meeting, and then from there they take their strategy out and move it to the streets. No municipality can work an entire city. And so we are dependent on the community. And this is one way of getting the community involved, bringing government to the people and letting the people assist. The COSUP program, which is the Community Oriented Substance Use Program, one of my favorite projects, in collaboration with the University of Pretoria, based on evidence-based data instead of clouded dreams, it is looking at how to address the substance use program. So within the city, we have a three-tier program, which is demand reduction, which falls under the Department of Social Development. And demand reduction is where we educate and teach to prevent people from ever starting to take substances. The other leg is then the supply reduction, which falls under community safety. And that is where we address drug houses, arrest dealers, and ensure that there are no drugs available. And then the health department's part, we call the harm reduction. So the reality is that when taking drugs, it is more than just the drugs that you're taking. Substance use is a disease, and we need to address the harms related to this. Our CASA program has had amazing results, where we've had people who have been homeless injectable drug users for 17 years, become part of the program, gone through the program, and I am aware of six who I can actually name who have come out of the process and are now functioning within the NGOs within RDAC. So I always say to people, you went from a homeless injectable drug user to a tax-paying citizen who pays rent and who earns a living and who has dignity. So COSAP is one of my favorite projects. When we started it in 2016, we had envisioned having 12 pop-up drug clinics in the city. When last I looked, we had 29. They are throughout the entire city of Tshwane in all the regions. They are staffed by the University of Pretoria, who give us social workers, nurses, doctors, and it is funded through the city. Once again, give the money to the people who know how to do the job, and we get the job done. Another thing that we have as part of the COSAP is a great innovation of a call-in center called Hopeline. And I think we're the only city in the world that runs a harm reduction drug program. And at the International AIDS Conference in 2017, we had first world countries coming to us saying, tell us how this works. So I think it's amazing.
That is phenomenal, and it's so great to see how this initiative has grown from 12 to 29 pop-ups around the city. Like you say, governments are helping with funding and taking hands with University of Pretoria, giving it to the experts, people that know how to help and make a difference and just uplift a community. Like you said, you have more than a handful of people that have gone through this program and now are giving back and being able to assist other people that were in or are in positions they were in. So well done for that, councillor. It's amazing to see that when initiatives have plans that are working and how it grows and it is making a difference and a positive impact in our city of Tshwane. What other interventions are in place that are addressing long waiting times in clinics? Because that can also be quite a drawback when it comes to having clinics around the city of Tshwane.
So the reality is that there are only, I think we have 79 clinics within the entire city of Tshwane, bearing in mind city of Tshwane is the third biggest city in the world. Only 24 of those 79 clinics belong to the city or are administered by the city. The rest are provincial clinics. And the reality is that the amount of people who access government services health is just more than we can cope with. So at any given time when you go to a clinic, you're going to find a queue. And if you're waiting less than 4 hours, you're privileged. What we have done, however, is brought in a system of block bookings based on once again, evidence-based data. Having a set appointment time for someone is just not always workable because your appointment is at 7:30, so you tell your employer you'll be back at 8:30, and when you get to the clinic, the nurse is ill, or there was an emergency or whatever, and it destroys your entire day. So we're working on a system of a block booking where we put you into a three-hour gap. So we say your appointment is from 7 to 10. Anybody who is booked for 7 to 10 will be serviced first. Anybody outside of that time will then wait until we've treated everybody within that time period. That gives us space for emergencies, for acute issues, for issues that don't have appointments. So we have cut down the waiting time by 50%, which is still not very amazing because now you wait for 2 hours instead of four, but it is already an improvement. The other thing we brought in was we didn't bring it in as such. It is in collaboration with provincial health, where we have a system called CCMDD. Please do not ask me what that stands for because I can't remember. But there are certain chronic diseases where if you are a patient with this chronic disease getting a specific type of medication and you have been stable for a period of 12 months, then instead of having to return to the clinic every month to come and get your follow-up medication, you register on the CCMDD plan. And when you come in for your checkup, we then script it for 6 months and you select a place where you can pick up your medication that is not at the clinic. So there are some auto-lock post boxes where you get a message, a text message that says, your drugs are there and this is your PIN code. You type in your PIN code, the door opens and your drugs are there. There are other NGO clinics. There are some churches. There are some supermarkets that have partnered with us where we deliver your medication there and you go and collect it at your convenience. That cuts down a lot of people in the clinic who are just waiting for medication. And every 6 months you go for a one-time appointment so that we can just ensure that you are still stable on your medication. It's working brilliantly. It is picking up well. And I would suggest to any listener who makes use of a government clinic who is on chronic medication, talk to your healthcare practitioner. Check if your disease and your treatment is on the CCMDD list. And then you can get a list of places where it is convenient for you to collect and you don't need to go to the clinic every single month.
Great initiative, and I'm sure also very convenient for the end user, because sometimes maybe the clinic is actually not in an area or on their way to work or wherever it is where they are staying. It's probably more convenient to pick it up at Hotspot, and put it like that, then go through to the clinic and take the sometimes maybe even a day off when all they need to do is just pick up medication rather than wait to see a sister or a doctor. The pre-booking process for that, is it all digital? And if so, how does one accommodate the gogo out there that doesn't have maybe a smartphone that can do a pre-booking for her clinic appointments?
So as I said, depending on what your chronic disease is and whether it is the medication that is on the approved list, you would then organize it with your healthcare professional. You fill in an application, not an application form, you fill in a form stating, this is my preferred pickup point. And you do get a message to say it's there, but if you don't have a smartphone, it's as easy as every 28 days. Because we work in a 4 week cycle. So if you get your medication today, in 28 days time, you can go to your pickup point and your medication will be there. It is computer generated on our side. And so this automatically happens. And we have contracted private pharmacies who are actually doing the dispensing on our behalf.
Councillor, one last question for you. Are the stakeholders which the City of Tshwane collaborate with in management of the health-related matters?
So as I said earlier, it is of vital importance that you work with people who know how. So we collaborate strongly with the academia, which is the University of Pretoria, Tshwane University of Technology, Sefako Makgatho University. We work very closely with them, and they basically do a lot of our evidence-based data research so that when we implement programs, we know it is something that is bound to succeed and not fail. We then have NGOs that we work with. So there are some NGOs in the RDAC specifically where we fund them to run specific projects for us with harm reduction programs. We have contracts with Pink Dry, for instance, who does breast and cervical and prostate cancer checks for us. This is a partnership, a collaboration, and it is really amazing because we don't pay them and they don't pay us. All that happens is we say, here's a place for you to come and do your testing, and we will ensure that anybody who has a suspect diagnosis will be referred for correct treatment. NGOs, FBOs, faith-based organizations, the entire community coming together to say, this is what we need, what do you offer, and how do we collaborate the two together?
Well, Councillor, it looks like this initiative is really going to grow from strength to strength. I mean, you're already seeing how the the structures and support in place is there, and the experts also. So well done to you. I also want to bring in Dr. Raj Pillay, who is the group head at City of Tshwane, and ask you, Dr. Raj Pillay, you know, it all comes down to accountability at the end of the day, and that's your role over there. So my question to you is, how does the city manage the activities and monitor the activities of the Department of Health that has been discussed over here in today's discussion?
Thanks, Vikita, and good morning to you and good morning to our listeners out there. I think each department in the city of Tshwane has a business plan which is put together prior to each financial year with clear KPIs, which is measurable. And also what is more important is that each business plan must be a funded business plan. So with clear measurables and clear funds available to achieve those objectives. For example, if substance abuse, a reduction of substance abuse is on the business plan of the health department, we have to have a funding plan to fund those initiatives to reduce substance abuse. So the business plans are then approved by council during the what we call the budget process, the annual budget of the city. And then on a quarterly basis, the four quarters in the year, the oversight committees, our chairperson who's online now, monitors the business plans, monitors the KPIs against which they achieved, and holds the department accountable for those KPIs that has been set, funded, but unachieved per quarter. Then that report gets consolidated and submitted to council for approval. And then from council, it gets routed as the performance of the municipality to the provincial government of Gauteng. So I think it's very clear guidelines in terms of the legislature playing an oversight responsibility on the executive. And we are planning to enhance that. And what goes further from oversight is then to do in-loco inspections, which means you go to the physical sites where these programs are being rolled out, where these programs are housed, so you can physically see whether what the department is doing and saying in the reports is actually taking place at the grassroots level. So that's, in a nutshell, how we do hold the department accountable, and we make sure that those KPIs set are measurable, attainable, and more especially, they are funded. So communities out there can have an expectation, and the government, the city of Tshwane, can fulfill that expectation.
Raj, I want to ask you a question on the flip side of that. Yes, there is accountability, and you talk about if they aren't meeting that criteria. But many a time, like we see in this situation, there are programs that they are meeting and maybe overachieving on previous targets. Mm. How does it work from a budget perspective? If you see things are working, do you keep it as is, or do you say, let's allocate more money to have more pop-up clinics around and have more infrastructure available to the people of the city of Tshwane?
Bigita, the way local government works is the budget process is done twice a year. The budget we call the final budget and the adjustment budget. So because government, local government specifically runs the 1 June to 31st May financial year, in December each year, government will look at each plan that has been set out. And like you said, where we overachieving, funds will be redirected. We call it the budget adjustment process. So the budget is then adjusted either up where we need funds and either down where we are not achieving. So in some programs where we're not achieving, why keep the budget there? We're not going to achieve come 30th of June. So local government will then reallocate those funds. But it can only be done, it's legislated. We can only do the budget process is twice a year, one in December for the January adjustment process and the final one, which we pass, what we call the budget speech. The mayor then does the budget speech, which cascades from national to the provincial budget and then local budget coming out of the state of the city address, the key priorities of the city and the funding plan. So, Birgitta, to answer your question, yes, it can be done and it must be done because priorities change and achievements also, departments would look at that on a quarterly basis, and the funding plan will be looked where either we adjust up or we adjust downwards.
Thank you so much. It's been a fantastic interview, and yes, a message of hope to know that there are programs that the City of Tshwane are putting in place and they are being implemented and things are happening. It might be slow, but it is happening, and also financial incentives at the end of the day. If these programs are working, then they know that these programs will continue to work. It won't be a matter of at the end of the financial year that that program, the people in that program will just find out that that program's no longer going to be happening. Obviously, there, if it's working, it will be continued. So we say thank you so much to Councillor Wayne Helfrich, who is the chairperson of health, and also to Dr. Raj Pillay, group head of City of Tshwane.